The last time we learned, we spoke about the kesher between Klal Yisrael and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a kesher, and that's it. It's not dependent on Hashem wants to connect with us because, you know, because we do mitzvahs, because we're such bal chasadim, because we stay away from our various. A kesher built on something like that is always a problem, because when the thing that the kesher is built on is no longer there, then the kesher goes away. And with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, it's an unbreakable kesher. Unbreakable kesher is, the kesher is because Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's a fact. Hashem is our God. Why? Because Hashem is our God. What reason? Because Hashem is our God. And that's why the pasuk that's brought down in the Gemara, Anochi lo yeshkecheka, I won't forget you. It's pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Mem Tes, V'Anochi lo yeshkecheka, I, Hashem, won't forget you. And the way the Morale is explaining it, there's a pause between the word V'Anochi and yeshkecheka. Because of the pasuk of Anochi, that he became a nation in the first place because of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, therefore, comma, lo yeshkecheka, I'm not going to forget you. So there's nothing that anyone could do to drive a wedge between Klal Yisrael and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, as long as Hashem still wants it. And that's what we talked about. Remember, we talked about Tayyip ki lechol rachamecha, v'amrachim ki lesamach hasadachra. The Kadosh Baruch Hu sets up a system that there's going to be a bond between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. And the Yevanim did not understand this. What did Yevanim try and do? They didn't try and kill the Bnei Yisrael. They weren't like the Amalekim. They weren't like Amalekim. They weren't trying to kill the Bnei Yisrael. They weren't trying to destroy them. They didn't want the Bnei Yisrael to have the Torah, because having the Torah means you're godly. The Torah is godly wisdom. They recognize that. And people that have the Torah are godly, and they don't want that. So he tried to rip Klal Yisrael away from the Torah, and they'd be satisfied with that. And that's the
What's
mistake.
The reason for not wanting to have the Torah? Why don't they want to take it as opposed to just get rid of it?
Excellent question. Because they can't. Because Hashem,
they understood
you can't,
that
you
much.
Cannot, you guess. There's something that they understood. They tried, the Yevanim, they embraced all wisdom. That's what they worshipped. Their God was wisdom, and they didn't understand the Torah. They didn't understand it. They tried. They really tried. They couldn't understand it. And the Jews could understand it, and they can't. Because the Torah is not a wisdom that resides in a physical world. It's a wisdom that could only be acquired by someone that has a connection with God. To the extent that you're connected with God, you understand the Torah. The more you're connected with the God, the more you understand the Torah. The less someone's connected with the God, the less he understands. No other wisdom is like that. Any other wisdom, you read the book, you read the cliff notes, you take the test, you get the credits, that's it, it's over. There are people that might think they understand the Torah. You know, the famous maaseh between two chavrusas, they were learning for years. Rams learning for years. And one of them invited, one guy was making a chavrusa, he was making a bar mitzvah. So he invited his chavrusa for many years to the bar mitzvah. He says, I'm not coming. He said, why not? He said, I'm not Jewish. He said, what do you mean you're not Jewish? We're learning for so many years. We're learning Chavrusa for so many years. How could you not be Jewish? He said, I'm not Jewish. I like to learn. He said, but you're from, you know, you. He said, no. But you keep Shabbos. I see you keep Shabbos. They learn on Shabbos. I see you keep Shabbos. And if you're not Jewish, non-Jews not allowed to keep Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Akam Shabbos Chayim Misa." A guy that keeps Shabbos is Chayim Misa. You're not allowed to keep Shabbos. You keep Shabbos. So he says, "No. Every time I come to Lilith, I have a handkerchief in my pocket. You don't notice it. So I'm carrying on Shabbos. I'm calling Shabbos because a guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos." He said, "Yeah, that's not called Shabbos. We have an Erev." Well, I don't hold it to you. That guy should cop. They don't understand. A Yid that doesn't have a connection with a Kaddish Baruch also won't understand. But that's one thing the Yvonne did understand, is that a Kaddish Baruch didn't give them the Torah in Harsinai and say, "I'm not going to Shem Elokecha." They did it to you, didn't do it to them. He didn't give them the Torah. If they didn't give them the Torah, Hashem did not give you the Torah, you can't understand the Torah. That means that the Bnei Yisrael are able to enter a world that's higher than the Yivanim. The Yivanim have no access to, and that they're not going to tolerate. They can't. They have to tear that down. And that's the Yivanim. They're going to tear that down. They're going to tear down. The Jews have a Torah because they have a relationship with God. They're going to destroy the relationship with God. They're going to destroy the Torah. They're going to destroy everything. They didn't understand that you can't do that.
Do they understand that, like, their philosophy of how God works was that God made the world and kind of removed himself? So how do they understand the connection between the Jews and God if he kind of removed himself? We were in Neo, no? They like the way they understood that, so you made it, and then he left. That was the crumb kind of how Eve understood.
Let me understand what you're asking. You're asking, based on what the Sefer Kuzri says about the belief of the Yivanim, that there's no way of directly relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or they call it a source, the prime source.
Right, so like
it doesn't have the time.
So then what
are they trying to be mevatel from the Yidden? If there can't be a kasher between the source and this world, so that means the Yidden don't have it either. And this is a classic cognitive dissonance. But let me give you a marshal. You understand what he's asking? If the Yivanim believe that God's connected to the world, then why would they be Yivanim? They should stop doing what they're doing. They believe that the world runs itself. That's the Greek philosophy. And if they believe that the world runs itself, then why are they trying to rip the Jews away from a connection? Then the Jews don't have one. There's a Medrash by Tevis Noach, Noah's Ark. Noach was for 120 years. He was building a Teva for 120 years. The Medrash says he was building for 120 years. Chazal explained that Kadosh Baruch Hu was giving one last shot to influence the people. They'll watch him building for 120 years. Maybe one of them will do tshuva. Not a single guy did tshuva. They just watched him and they laughed at him. They say, "Hey, Noach, what are you doing? Building an ark. What's an ark?" Really, an ark. The Lord's going to bring a big flood. It's going to wipe out all of mankind. And he said, "That's never going to happen. You're going to build an ark. It's going to be this, you know. Why don't you take up a different hobby, you know? It'd be a lot easier. Why don't you put model ships inside of bottles? Take it less time. You're building an ark for it. It's not going to happen. There's no way it's going to happen. He's not gonna bring a flood. And then Mamash, they don't believe it. It's not gonna happen. God doesn't do it. He's not gonna do it. He won't do it. They say he can't do it. Whatever they say. And then they tell him, and if he brings a flood and you go into that ark, we're gonna break that ark up with hatchets. They show him, see this hatchet here? You go into that ark when things are gonna break it with hatchets. So Beliomer Block, Zikr Levracha, the founder of Tel Yeshiva and Cleveland, the Yerikasha, do they believe? Or they don't believe. They tell him he's going to go in there, they're going to break it with hatches. If he's going in there, it means it's flooding. If it's flooding, why are you ripping apart the teva? That doesn't make sense. Either it's going to be or it's not going to be. Why are they smashing they're telling they're gonna smash, they really meant it, they weren't lying. They're gonna smash the table. He said that, yeah, because there's the emes, and then there's the way you live your life, you fool yourself because you want to live your life a certain way. People have two layers. They have the real truth. And then they're in the state of denial. Why they put themselves in a state of denial because they don't want to face that. So deep down, they know that God could do it and will do it, and it's going to happen. On the other hand, if they live with that belief, that's going to be mechayev of them. It's going to bring with it something called achrayus, responsibility. They can't live with it, so it's not going to happen, and God's not going to do it. But he's going to do it. He's not going to do it. The people develop a certain type of schizophrenia. It's going to happen, and I'm going to break it. You know, you have the two parts of the personality. Both exert themselves at the same time. Greek philosophy is the way the Greeks live their life. But they have, as long as the Jews are in front of them, yeah. If you pay close attention to the Jews, you can't deny that there's a shkaka pratis. It's undeniable. When the Mephoshim say it's safer Iyav, because Iyav also, according to many of the Mephoshim, that was one of the things that Iyav believed, that he's a good person, and so bad things happen to him. A lot of bad things happen to good people. Teretz is, God doesn't care anymore. He made the world, he moved up to Shemayim. He doesn't care. So his friends told him, how could you believe that? Yetzias Mitzrayim. Esther Malkus, Matan Torah, Eliyahu Bar Carmel. That throughout Jewish history, the history of the world, there have been times that God's role in this world is undeniable. Take a look at the Jews. Zechariah Ma'asalem. It's not Shaykh. How could you believe that God doesn't connect with the world? The Jews are the Edim. Atem Edai Nuam Hashem. The Jews are the Edim that God connects with the world. So the Yevanim, they want to bury their heads in the sand. They want to believe God doesn't, and therefore they have to break the kesher between the Jews and God, and then they can actually say it. The Gemara would say it because there's no one around. If the Jews don't have a connection with God, there's no one around to refute them. And that's the Yevanim, and that's what they try to do. They try to make Israel, right? Inscribe on the hardest part of the animal, inscribe it, that you don't have no chaluk in the God of Israel, and that's it. It's over. Now he's asking, so, you know, what did the Yevanim do that was different than any other nations? He says, Gam Malchus Revius, the fourth kingdom, and the fourth kingdom is Rome. The first one is Babel, second one is Persia and Media, third one is Greece, Yavan. The fourth one is Rome, it's called Malchus Revius, Gazu Shmadus HaKla Yisrael. They decreed Shmad. Shmad means that they decreed that the Bnei Yisrael should relinquish their connection with God. They did the same thing. The Romans also did it. It wasn't just the Greeks. The Romans did it. Why did they do it? And they had Xera, that you know how to learn Torah. And they had Xera, that you know how to learn Torah Barabim. And they burnt Rebbe Kiva. They killed Rebbe Kiva because of it. They burnt Rebbe Hanina ben Trajan because of it. Why did they kill Rebbe Kiva? Mama Shriya Simon. They killed Rebbe Kiva because he learned Torah. He taught Torah Barabim. So what makes Yavan special? Edom, Rome, they also did it. They were Gezer Shmat. They burnt Rebbe Hanina ben Trajan, wrapped in a Sefer Torah. Malchus Revius. What's the difference between the third Malchus and the fourth Malchus? You see, the difference wasn't their motive. Gemalka Servius Le Isumza Rishosha Amrulana Hamaila Yenilakis Kamasha Aimir Hayvanim. They weren't being geyser, decreeing. They weren't decreeing a Klal Yisrael, being geyser gzeiros, because they wanted to break Klal Yisrael from their elevated spiritual level and drag them down. They're making gzeiros against Klal Yisrael because they wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. And part of destroying Klal Yisrael is they shouldn't be able to learn Torah. And if they do learn, you're going to kill them. He said, they knew Klal Yisrael loved to learn Torah. He said, okay, you can learn Torah, you're dead. And when they learn Torah, they kill them.
Right, the same as far as the mother.
Parsha Madai.
Also wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael.
They wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. The Parshas in Parsha Madai is it didn't touch their religion at all. They wanted to destroy their lives. That's the Parshas. They wanted to destroy their lives. In Mechanica, they wanted to destroy the soul. And Adam wanted to destroy everything. They're cruel. Adam has a cruelty that surpasses the other nations. The mamish, so much blood has been spilled in the name of Adam. And Adam means Christianity. In the time of the Muhammad, when millions of Jews were being killed, and Jews were being killed in areas that they had a very strong respect for the Catholic Church. Catholic Church and the clergymen, they had power. And, you know, the murderers, the Ukrainian murderers, and the Polish murderers, and the Nazi murderers, they were intimidated by the clergymen. They were Christians. And the Pope didn't lift a finger. Nothing. Pope Pius. He was pious. A tzaddik. Didn't lift a finger. And the thing the clergyman said, you know, that anyone who had any connection with a bishop, a cardinal, anyone, there was a whole town, there was a bishop of the town, let the, you know, bring the Jews under the protection of the church, they would save so many lives. They had delegations approaching the clergymen at peril of their own life because Jews weren't really allowed to be around. They would somehow manage to get in there and appeal to them, appeal to their conscience that there's innocent women and children. What about the children? Babies. Innocent women and children. Save us. Help us. Help stay the hand of the murderer. And, I mean, these statements are on record. They would receive a response from the secretary of the bishop, you know, message. They wouldn't get to, they'd have to smear the secretary just to get in there to deliver a message to the bishop, to his high holy eminence. And then after paying him off, they took the money. But they didn't do anything, they just took the money. They'd receive a message. This is an infamous one. There's no such thing as innocent Jewish women and children. There's no such thing. A bishop. No such thing as innocent Jewish women and children, because they all have a hand in the guilt of slaying their Lord. And that's what they believe. They believe this. Let's not fool ourselves. The religious Christians believe it. They believe it, and therefore there is no innocence among Jews. Let us not fool ourselves. Writes in Lachalaisam, Malchus Revius wants to finish off Klal Yisrael. They proclaimed impossible decrees. Things that nobody could actually live with. With the threat of death hanging over them. They decreed things that you couldn't have done. Anyone that doesn't It's Chayim Misa. They took away, in times of Chazal, they took away Yom Tov, Bismillah, Rish Chodesh, Libra, Taira, everything. You learn, if you learn Ksubis, Kol Nisus Brevi Tibal Bahagman Tchila. Kol Nisus Tibal Bahagman Tchila. That before a Jewish bride entered the chuppah, she had to have relations with the governor of the city first. Impossible Xeris. Mamash impossible Xeris. But he writes in La Rega, son. So when he made Xera, it's the opposite. When the Yavana made Xera that they shouldn't learn Torah, the Xera was meant at face value. They don't want Klal Yisrael to learn Torah. Klal Yisrael shouldn't be superior. Klal Yisrael shouldn't have this connection to God. So they made Xera shouldn't learn Torah because they didn't want them to learn Torah. When the Romans made Xera and Klal Yisrael they shouldn't learn Torah, they wanted to kill Klal Yisrael, so they made Xera against something that they knew that Klal Yisrael wouldn't be able to keep.
When the Tzion made Xera?
Yeah. Bayamim Mehem is Manazah. Geizer and Aleim, they decreed things against them, but he writes in the Haragai Psalm, their real intent was to kill the Jews. Lekach Geizer Aleim Xera Sishmadas. The purpose of the Xera was to kill Jews. It was just a subterfuge. Because Kol Kavanasim Hariga, Kamarishi is fire. It's Romi is Adam. What is Adam known for? Achar B'cha Sechya. He lives by the sword. Aval Yivanim, Ayi Kavanasim Yisrael HaKalaisam. They don't want to destroy the Jewish nation. They just wanted to break the connection between Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shlom. Because anyone that has any elevated levels in this world, it's not the Jews. It's the Yavanim. We're the ones. Because we worship wisdom. We worship Chachma. Remember, if you ever went through the Sefer Kuzri, the Yavanim believed in something which has yet to happen. They believe that if one embraces wisdom, all wisdom, not just Chachmas HaTorah, all wisdom, if it's wisdom, you embrace it. So then anything that's embraced by the mind of a person eventually has an effect on the person. And the person becomes changed and transformed by any wisdom that he absorbs. And the more wisdom someone absorbs, and the more his physical self becomes similar to wisdom, becomes less physical. And the Yavanim believe that if you embrace wisdom, all wisdom and only wisdom and nothing but wisdom, so then the process begins where the body is transformed from physical matter into wisdom. And eventually, the goal, the end of all mankind, is to be creatures of pure thought. It's taken from Am Yisrael in Tchias HaMeisim in Elam Haba, but they destroyed it.
It's happening in the computer age.
What?
It's happening in the computer age.
They believe that they're going to become creatures of pure thought. And that's what godliness means to them. Godliness means to attain a state when you rise up among a world that's not wise. There's a lot in this world that's not wise. It's a very dumb, stupid world, brainless world. And they don't want to be here because they're Yavanim, they're Greek, they're philosophers. So they want to embrace only the wise. They sit the whole day and contemplate the wisdom of the cosmos. And to them, there's no such thing as good wisdom and bad wisdom. If it's wisdom, it's good. All wisdom is good. There's no sifting in Greek philosophy. It's Wisdom is to be embraced no matter where you find it. And then you become what you believe in, you become what you seek after, you become what you absorb, and you become creatures of pure thought without connecting directly to God. So what's the difference between a Jew and a Greek? Jews also, we pursue wisdom. Jews also believe that our physical bodies are going to become metaphysical, supernatural, like with a big TJ on it. Supernatural with that cape. Gotta have that cape. We also believe in that. And that the wisdom that we learn, it changes us and makes us more and more spiritual and less physical. What's the nafka mina? The nafka mina is we believe that process takes place because we embrace God's wisdom. And by embracing God's wisdom, we come closer to God. And since God is not physical, so the closer you get to God, the less physical you become. And the transformation from a physical being to a being of pure wisdom is affected by a relationship with the source of all wisdom. It's a relationship that does it. We have a relationship with God by studying His thoughts. We have a relationship with God by studying His words, His utterings, His Torah. So that changes us. If you relate to someone that's not physical, and you have a bond with someone that's not physical, it's going to rub off, and we're going to change. We're going to get closer and closer. And the Yavanim, they cut the wisdom away from the source of wisdom. It's not the relationship to God that they seek, it's the relationship with the wisdom that they seek. Their God is the wisdom. They're embracing wisdom that doesn't bring with it any responsibility. There's no set value system. If it's wisdom, we can embrace it. And there's no do's or don'ts. There's no, by Greek philosophy, there's no good or bad or evil or do's or don'ts. If it's wise, it's something to run after. If it's not what's wise,
wisdom?
What?
What's wisdom?
Wisdom is something that it opens the mind to something that it was closed from. There's bad wisdom also. Let me give you an example. Let's say somebody makes an off-color joke. It's funny. Why is it funny? Because humor has wisdom to it. That doesn't make it something to embrace. It's bad. It's evil. It's wisdom. There's a lot of things in this world that have wisdom, chachma to them. But it's not the type of chachma that we want to have anything to do with. And the Yavanim didn't discriminate. Their God is wisdom. So the Yavanim said, we are the ones in this world that are going to be spiritual creatures. And we're going to do it without connecting to God. We're going to connect to wisdom and become creatures of pure wisdom. And we're going to think wise thoughts all the time, for all eternity. Daddy, 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 daddy. They're taking away all the essence of Klal Yisrael. It's a distortion of what Chayei Netzach is. Chayei Netzach is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares from His wisdom with those that deserve it forever. He shares the wisdom that's good for us forever. And you find that they cut Hashem out of the equation. Right? He's going back to Daniel's dream. Remember, Daniel had a dream, he had a vision, and Nebuchadnezzar had a vision. Nebuchadnezzar's vision was a huge man-like creature with four components to it, head of gold, the torso of silver, the lower extremities of iron, and the bottom is copper.
Potter.
When the shoes are clay. The Shiv Zakhli, that's Ishma. Ishma. So Daniel also had a vision. But this vision was not a human. It has four aspects to him. His vision was four animals that come out of the sea. Because both Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel are seeing the same thing. They're seeing the four tours of Adam. They're seeing the human being called Babel, the human being called Paras of Madai, human being called Yavan, the human being called Edom. And to Nebuchadnezzar, they're people. So he saw them in the form of a person. But Daniel saw them the way they really are. They're animals. He saw them as animals because that's what they are. They're animals. So you're learning in Pirkei Avos. Of Mekabos Kol HaAdam V'Sefer Panam Yafos. You're supposed to greet every Adam with a pleasing, a pleasant countenance. So the Mepharshim say, only if someone's an Adam do you greet him with a pleasing or a pleasant countenance. And Mekabos Kol HaAdam V'Sefer Panam Yafos. He has to be a human being. He's got to be a mensch. But if someone's a behemoth, you don't have to greet him with a pleasant countenance. So he saw, when he saw in a vision, Hashem was showing Daniel prophecy. And Hashem was showing Daniel that what looks like people is really a beast. Everyone looks at the Romans, they think they're people. They look at the Yavanim, they think they're people. They're not people. Hashem is going to lift up the veil. He's going to show Daniel that they're what they really are. They're really beasts. The beast called Rome, he says, Mishana Mikol Kiyusa, it's different than all the other beasts. The beast called Rome, it's different than all the other ones. Kvarman, Igdavis Aneged Masha Adam Kalam and Eile Gelmudvar. A little bit of Chazar. Every being has three things. And this is besides the body. The spiritual part of the person. It's Kaya Kufni. Sheish ba Adam koyach nafshi, veish la Adam koyach sichli. Koyach gufni is a person that has a neshama that could bring life into the body. It animates the body. We have a spiritual side to ourselves that it has a relationship with the body, and through it the body's alive. Koyach gufni. Then you have a koyach, on the other end of the spectrum, you have a koyach sichli that your mind could operate in a way that has nothing to do with the body. Your mind could totally disassociate itself from the body. Just think thoughts of Sisera Torah. Nothing to do with the body. And then between those two kaiches, the part of the soul that brings life into the body and the part of the soul that has nothing to do with bodies just thinks. Doesn't do anything. Then there's something called Koyach Nafshi. It's a mechaber between the different halakha. So you have a high part of the soul, a low part of the soul, and the part in between that connects it. So he said, don't make the mistake of thinking that we have three souls. Any other kaikas of halakhas, they're not separate. Shem keni yaladim gimel nefashas. Don't make the mistake of thinking that we have three souls. We have one soul that controls our body, another soul that controls our mind, and the soul in between that connects between the body and the mind, and that's actually responsible for the power of speech. That's not true. There's no three souls inside of a person. Yesh v'adam kayach v'shutif. L'kol eilu gimel chalakim v'yachad. This is a fourth chalak. And the fourth chalak, the role, the capabilities of the fourth chalak is to combine all the other three chalakim together. You have the ability to do, you have the ability to think, you have the ability to speak, and it's not three separate abilities that work independent from each other. They all work together.
Why do we need the fourth one if that third one is to connect the first one and the second one?
The nature of the The nature of the three chalakim. These are natures that we all know we have inside of ourselves. The nature of the lowest chalak of the neshama is just to keep the body alive. Rahman Lutzlan, if someone is injured to the extent that they're in a coma, they're not conscious, they don't move, nothing. So that chalak of the neshama is dominant. They're alive. They don't go anywhere, they don't do anything. Nothing. What do? They live. Anything more than that? No. All they do is live. There's no function whatsoever. But they live, and they live in this world. So the chelik, the lowest chelik, which is called the kayak beguf, is what enables the body to live in this world. What's the body doing? Absolutely nothing. It's living in this world. Then you have a hayak, I'm going to the other extreme, you have a chelik makshava, that it could think. And it's not confined by this world. It could think divrei Torah, the deepest of all divrei Torah have nothing to do with this world. Remember, sure you're all familiar with Gemaras and Midrashim, that they take a simple pasuk, and you know that says one shore gores another animal, and the Medrash says it's not talking about a cow goring another cow, it's talking about something higher, it's talking about the midah of a cow, or it's talking about Yosef Atzadik, that he's like a shore. Because you know, the more you get, the deeper you go into divrei Torah, the less the divrei Torah have to do with anything relevant in this world. It's sidus, it's secrets, it's hidden secrets. Torah enables a person to leave the world, and the divrei Torah at their deepest, have absolutely nothing to do with anything in this world. You know, the malachim, they also have Torah. The Gemara Shabbos said the Malachim, they wanted Torah. They fought with Moshe Rabbeinu, they wanted to keep the Torah. And the Gemara gives a whole bunch of reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get it from them. But like one kasha, why would the Malach want a Torah? It says one shore gores another shore. There is no oxen. The Malachim have oxen. Why would they want the Torah? There's nothing in the entire Torah that exists. The Torah says they do have oxen. And boxen and moosen. They've got them. It's just that they're not physical. They have something by them which is an ox. It has nothing to do with this world. And people, you know, you could access it. The chayli, the machshav of a person enables a person to transcend this world and to go to places which have nothing to do with this world. And then the middle chayli, the ruach. You know, if a person would only have those two chalakim, so you'd be a brain dead person, not a brain dead person, a body, a person in a coma, but his brain is functioning beyond its normal capacity, and the body is just alive. And you know what? The people that go into comas, it could be that they're talking what they're doing. Nobody knows what they're thinking of. You know, the scientists are all trying to measure the brain activity of people comatose patients. But there's a good chance that they're right. So then there's a third chelik. And that third chelik is a chelik is that you have to go from one place to another. You can't be split like that. That your mind is in Shammai. And your body is ours. And the body's never going to do anything but stay in ours. It's just going to be here. And the mind is going to stay in Shammai. It's just going to be here. Hashem doesn't want that. He wants a person to have another kayak. That there's a kayak in the Shammai. There's a drive in a person to go from one place to the next. Okay, these are three different kayakas. When I said before that the kayak is responsible for speech, that's true, because what is speech? Speech is thought coming from one place, coming out and coming into this world. It's going from one place to the next. But that's what you see. It only works that way if the three kayakas of the soul are at peace with each other. A person has a soul that the nature of the soul is not to stay in one place, constantly go from one place to the next. It doesn't necessarily mean that speech is going to be the result of that. In fact, there could be a war inside of the person. That the chelik, which is called the nefesh, He says, come on, let's go. Let's do something. Let's go from one place to the next. Let's accomplish. We're not just going to stay there. And then the chelik calls the goof, says, nah, I don't want to do anything. I just want to live. We're just going to stay here, hooked up to all the machines. And then the chelik called him, and he goes to the chelik, like, come on, let's go. Let's do something. You know, because he has part of his neshama that wants to do something. He says, when I finish thinking this calculation now, I'll get to it. If the chalakim don't work with each other, you're not going to get anything. You're not going to get speech. You're certainly not going to get anything. So even though one of the three chalakim is a chalak, which is very, very useful when it comes to bringing things from one place to the next and joining, but it can't join unless it has the participation of the other parts. So you need a fourth chalak to join the three together. The mere fact that there's a chelik in the neshama, that the nature of that chelik is to bring things from one place to the next, doesn't mean it's going to do that. It has to be coordinated. Because the other chalakim won't work with it.
What's the fourth chelik called?
The fourth chelik, it's called a kayak meshutif. Kayak meshutif. It has aspects of all the other chalakim. It has things in common.
Doesn't want to do anything.
When Hashem creates healthy people, then the chalakim don't have choices. And if you're talking about unhealthy people, that can explain a lot of mental illnesses. There's a hazard, there's like an injury in certain areas. This man, the mouth of this manifests itself in speech. So because when one speaks, speech is what sets a person aside, apart from an animal, and when one speaks, he uses everything.
Who is it that animals have for mushroom?
Not really. They don't have a kayak machshava to think divrei Torah. The machshava is limited. To anything, they're limited to inyanim in this world. A person uses a tongue in order to speak, and a tongue is a goof, it's physical. But the tongue won't waggle. You can't waggle your tongue unless there's a nefesh that causes it to waggle. You also need to have some intelligence in order for the speech to come out intelligent. So the speech uses all the kayakas together. The kayak, the goof, the nefesh, and the machshava. The four nations, and there are four animals. And the fourth animal is the one that's different than any of the other animals, because the fourth animal that Daniel saw in his dream was unlike any animal that anyone had ever seen. It was like an animal made up of other animals. It was a composite animal. And the nation, which is the fourth nation, it's Rome, it's Edom, so it comes to rip Klal Yisrael away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he uses all the kayakas at its command. That's why the animal that Daniel saw represented had characteristics of a lot of different animals. Didn't look like any animal anyone ever saw. Because it's a composite animal that's made up of all the other animals. and it has all the gimel kaychas, looks different than anything else, and it's klalius, and wants to consume and destroy everything.